love you. We give you all the praise. We give you ourselves. That's really all we can give. And Lord, I pray that at Christ Community Church, we will be a joyful choir lifting our voices to you. We love you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Y'all stand with us this morning. So we're going to start off with that song.
Folks like me and my generation, we know this song. Some of the younger bunch, like one up here in a praise band, didn't know this song. So that's why I like to do some of these old hymns so people in different generations can hear them and learn them maybe. All right, the Lily of the Valley.
Thank you. And Paid my ransom, because there was nothing that I could have ever done to pay that debt. Lord, I just thank you that you've given us the opportunity to be here to hear your word this morning. As John comes to bring the message, I just pray that you would speak through him into our hearts. In Christ's name, amen.
I see Nani. Okay, we're dismissed. Are you taking your youngins? All right, Nani and her youngins. Ready? Break. So that's four to K, three, four through kindergarten. Four through kindergarten. The youngins. Y'all be thankful for the youngins. Right? If you look at it right, they help keep you young, kind of. They help make you old, too, kind of. So all the time they're helping, either to make you old or to make you young, you know, either way. And so we're thankful for them. Y'all, let me pray for us, but I want to put this thought in your mind. Because sometimes we forget, when it comes to salvation, when it comes to saving mankind from our problem with sin and rebellion against God, sometimes we forget that it was all God's idea. Sometimes it's like we get worried that somehow people are taking advantage of God, that somehow they're getting something for nothing and God is being robbed. But God won't be mocked. God won't be robbed. To offer an open invitation to be saved, to be forgiven of our sins, this has been, is, and continues to be God's plan. And what we're going to look at today, just real simply, is God's open invitation, how he's given this to us, not to shame us, but y'all, we don't have to worry. There's enough things, and if you're going to worry, Don't worry about God being taken advantage of, because he won't be and he can't be. Amen? Let me read this one verse and then I'll pray. In Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1. It's in the bulletin, if I just read. It says, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without price, without money." This is God's invitation. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to come to hear your word, to sing together, to be a part of what you're doing in our hearts and our lives and our church community world. Father, you're moving. You've been moving. You'll continue to move when we're gone. We thank you for how you are faithful to offer this invitation. You're faithful to pay the price for those who come. We just come thirsty. We just come hungry. We just come needy and poor, and you pay the price. We come sinful, and you are holy, and you pay the price. Thank you, Lord, for being the God who pays for those who are unworthy and unable to pay for themselves. Lord, we love you, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. 700 years before the manger, before the world, before the Word, rather, dwelt among us and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of God, God gave out this invitation to come to him. This isn't the earliest of God's invitations. It's just really cool. Isaiah 55 is written, like I said, 700 years before zero, 700 BC. And yet God's message is to come. Everyone. I love it. It's not just for these people. Remember, this is Isaiah. He is a prophet in the nation of Israel to the Jews. But listen to his invitation. You come, everyone. And we're going to see that in God's message. Everyone. When we say God's open invitation, part of that openness is that it's for everyone. It's not a select few. It's not their religion. It's not their God or our God. There's God. And God says, come. Come on to me. Come, everyone who thirsts. Come to the waters. God has what we need. I don't know if you've come to that conclusion, but listen, whatever it is that you need, God has what you need. God has courage when you don't have any. God has a spirit that we need in order to thrive and to bear fruit and to make disciples and to live a life pleasing to Him. God has the sacrifice for sin, the only one that's acceptable in heaven. You know, you go some places and you're worried your currency is not acceptable. What currency does heaven respect? What money? What property? What talent? What resource? What personality traits and temperament is respected in heaven when it comes to salvation? None. All we have is the thirst. He has the water. He has what we need. He's the one who has a currency that's accepted in heaven. Come to the waters. He who has no money, come buy and eat. Oh, the compassion of God that says, I recognize your lack, and yet I still say to you, come buy and eat. And we could say to ourselves, Lord, what do we have? And I'm going to tell you what you have and what I have is our lack, our emptiness, our thirst. We don't have anything but ourselves, our sinfulness. And what's God's invitation? Bring that. Go ahead, bring that. Bring who you are. Bring what you are. Bring what you've done. It's all sin, but I'll take sin, and in its place, I'll give you something you can eat and drink and be fulfilled with. That's God's open invitation. He's so gracious. I love reading this. Just the word to come. Come, everyone who thirsts. Come to the water. Come buy and eat. Come buy without money and without price. This was God's idea way back before the manger. But then we jump. What did the Lord preach about? What did Jesus come and say when he wandered this earth where he walked around like we walk around? What was his message? I love this passage. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28. I'm going to read 28 through 30. I only put 28 on your handout. But just listen to this. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I used to preach this every week. Same verse. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I was going to Mississippi Delta Medical Center, and we went up on the floor where folks who have been put in there for mental illnesses and issues were having, and it was the voluntary part, so there was a lot of changeover. So every week it was like somebody new. So I'd come up there, and when we talked to these folks, I would preach this, and I'd say, you've been invited to a party. You've been invited to a school. You've been invited to be a part of the family of God. You've been invited to walk with the Savior. You've been invited. Now, these people didn't feel like they wanted to be invited anywhere. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure most of their families had stopped inviting them anywhere with them a long time ago because they were a burdensome people with bipolar that was not in control, with other issues that were out of control, with anxiety and with mistrust and all these issues that made them seem so burdensome to their family and to their friends. And yet, with all truth and sincerity, I could come to them and say, but you have been invited. You have been invited by Jesus Christ to come to Him. Matter of fact, it seems like your burdens
Your weariness is part of what makes him even more attracted to you. Can you imagine sitting in a facility, not knowing what's going to happen next, and not having anybody that seems to be on your side and said, wait, the very fact that you're here, the very fact that you take the medications that you take and you do these things might be part of the reason why this compassionate, loving God, who is our Savior, has come to seek you. I love this. Now, part of the understanding is if the weary and heavy laden are invited, certainly everybody else is also. But I'm going to tell you something about our God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. He seems to be on a mission to find the least, the last, and the lost. He seems to be very compelled toward those who recognize they need him most. Now, these might be some of the people who we think are taking advantage of God sometimes. Well, what are they contributing? And what are they bringing to the table? And what do they ever do for God? And I'm here to tell you, whoever you are, you don't bring anything good to the table. He died and paid it all. And when we see these who are the lowest of the low and who need the greatest of help and feel as isolated as anybody, and our Savior comes to them and wraps them up and says, I want you to be mine. Your family may not want you no more, but I want you to be mine. You may feel like you've outlived your usefulness already in this place and wonder why you're even here, but I want you to be mine. I want to train you. I want to give you rest, a peace of mind, a rest in your heart, a family to belong in, a shelter to harbor in from the storms of life. I want to be these things for you. I'm going to give you a trade. I'm going to give you a purpose. I'm going to give you a point. I'm going to tell you, part of not understanding why you're here in the first place is so difficult. But when Jesus gets a hold of you and he says, son, I love you. I created you. I understand you. And I want you to come with me, to learn from me, to take your yoke upon Take my yoke upon yourself and be trained by me. Most people I find, they're not lazy trying to avoid things, but they get so depressed and so down, they feel useless. Listen to the Savior's call. You're not useless. It's his invitation. It's not my invitation. We got to face the truth a lot of times in churches and denominations. We're always looking for the shiniest pennies. We're always looking for those who can do the greatest contribution. We're not always looking for those who Jesus is looking for according to his invitation that God was looking for when he says, you who have no money, but you are thirsty, come. And I'm going to tell you, I think this is exactly who Christ came for and exactly how we should be looking at it and saying, oh Lord, give us the mercy, give us the kindness to look to those who nobody else will look towards. You remember a while back, a football player, I think he's from Florida State University. They were visiting some high school, and there was a young man who was sitting at a table all by himself. Nobody sat with that young man. That young man had autism, and nobody sat with him. You could tell that was just their regular habit, that he sat alone. And this football player, he went and sat with this young man. And you know, it just kind of flipped that young man's world a little bit. You know, it caught everybody's attention. Can I tell you, Jesus ought to be the most attention-grabbing person in the world for who he goes after, for whose table he'll sit at, for who's allowed at his table in his house. You know, he invites us to his house. You know, I'm a Michigan guy. The University of Michigan has got the big house. But I'm going to tell you, the real big house, right? I've never been to a University of Michigan game. I just could never get to one. I never been to one. Never been in that huge, ginormous stadium. But one day I'm going to be in God's heaven. I didn't have the pull to get into the big house, but because of Christ, I'm going to the big house. You know, I can't get into the finest places to eat, but one day I'm going to eat with the Lord at his table. You know, when we think about compassion, when we think about reaching out to those who are needed, come to me, he says. Come to me. It's the ancient invitation. 700 years before he gave it, God was giving it through his prophets. In the Gospel of John, we hear a similar invitation. Jesus shows up at a feast. Feast of the Tabernacles in Jerusalem. Jerusalem's flooded with people. Jesus comes up and says, on the last and great day of that feast, Jesus stood and he cried out. John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39 is what I'm going to read. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. But I just want you to hear the invitation given again. Come to me. If you're thirsty, if anyone thirsts, if anyone, it's an open invitation. If you have a spiritual desire, if you know that you are created for more than what you're living for, if you know you are meant to have a relationship with God, but you don't know how to articulate those thoughts or those words to him, I challenge you, I encourage you, I recommend to you that you come to him like he said, that you would put your faith in him. Here we get a little more of response of how do we answer the call of God? If anyone thirsts, let him come to me. How do we come to you, Jesus? You live in heaven at the right hand of the Father. You walked on this earth almost 2,000 years ago. Imagine if Jesus was still headquartered in Jerusalem and we took this seriously, we'd probably stash away some of our money to get there so we can say, Jesus, we've come to you where you are. But we can't do that. But I remind you, this is his idea, right? So when he says, come to me, he tells us how. He who believes in me. He who with their faith has come to me. He who has put their faith in me. Those who trust me. Those who yield and surrender to me. Those who have their faith and they exercise that faith in me. That's the one. That's the one who has come to me. This is how we come to him. Faith is an amazing thing. It travels faster than any airplane. I was going to say rocket ship, but I was like, this is not the 1950s. It goes faster than a speeding bullet and faster than a locomotive. It can jump over tall buildings in a single bound. That's how faith is. Faith is fast. One step of faith changes your whole life. It gets there. I don't know how or why, but I know that when you put your faith in Christ, that's how you answer the invitation to God. That's how you RSVP to God. I'm looking, we got some young people going, RSVP, there's some vowels missing. I don't know what it means, young people, either, except for that you're supposed to return the self-addressed stamp envelope that they give you and tell them that you're coming to their wedding. It's a way of response. Faith is the way we respond. God then lets us know. Y'all listen. What kind of invitation would it be if God says, come on to me, and then in our faith we say, yes, we'll come on to you, but then we never know if it made it. We never know if our RSVP got back. But God in this passage says, I'll let you know. How do you know if you've responded to God's message or not? God says he'll let you know. How? There'll be a spiritual exchange. Listen to this. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. I don't see anything flowing out of my heart region, which is a good thing. But what was he speaking about? He's speaking about life in the Spirit. Verse 39 says, he spoke this concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. Can I tell you something? I believe this. If you've answered God's invitation, you know it. Because there's been an awakening, a quickening, an understanding, a spiritual interchange between you and God. You might not know how to explain it. I don't know how to explain it. I'm a pastor, and I don't know how to explain it. Jesus used word pictures, living water flowing out of your heart. I don't know. I don't think passion, I don't think enthusiasm catch all what that means. I think it has to do more with like a movement, a motion. When I think of a river, a mighty river coming out, there's a direction, there's a current. Do you feel like you're in the current of God? Do you think like God's moving in you? Do you feel the life of God in you? I believe if you've answered God's invitation, you'll know it. Likewise, I feel like if you have not answered God's invitation, you know it. You know it. And if you're sitting on that, if you know that you haven't answered the free and open invitation of God, if you know that in you there's never been an awakening, there's never been a change, you think back, you're like, I've always been the way I always am. I don't know of anything that changed. Maybe you accepted Christ when you're young and there wasn't a big change. But do you sense that there's a pull towards God? Toward God's word, toward God's person, toward God's people, to the praise of God. Because I'm going to tell you, I believe that's the way the current of God's living water flows in our heart. But if you're a person, you say, I have no love for God, no love for God's word, no pull towards his people, no pull towards his place. I get into a routine even of being at church. I'm just asking you, look again, the invitation's open. You know, you're not going to get, well, look at you. You're still alive. As long as you're alive, you got an opportunity to respond to his invitation. You have an opportunity to say, Lord, I don't know what's been going on with me, but I don't have that sense of a current rising up in me, a life that has come from you inside me. I don't know that I could say, honestly, I've been born again by spirit and water. I don't know that I have this stuff. If you don't know, the invitation is open. And I believe besides God, the only person who really knows is you. The only person who knows about me is me. Y'all can look at the fruit, but the root is inside. And I know. And I don't mind testifying. I've been born again. Something happened in me. Something continues to draw me in the way of God. Sometimes contrary to what I want or what I think. But God seems to have a way of overruling that. And when I overrule what God wants, I feel like I've done the wrong thing. And through the Spirit of God, I'm convicted of sin. And I repent, and I ask for forgiveness. Part of that current almost is there to say, look, when you fall down, get back up. Almost there to look, say, hey, son, you're going the wrong way. You're thinking the wrong thoughts. You're doing the wrong things. He's there, and it's an open invitation. Lastly, last chapter of the book, Revelation chapter 22. All the word of God is the word of God, but something about being in Revelation chapter 22 is kind of like, ooh. I don't know why. It's like it's the last chapter. It's the last word of the word. It's the last bit of anything. You know, it had to come to an end. No book can contain everything. The Gospel of John tells us that. If all the things that Jesus had done were written in a book, the world would not be able to contain the book that they're written in. But these things were written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and by believing, have everlasting life in his name. That's John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. It's interesting. But here we are at the last. Just want to read this one verse, 22 verse 17, because I want you to understand about the time going forward. Time passed. God had an open invitation. Come, everyone who thirsts. When Jesus was here walking the earth, he says, come unto me. He said, if you're thirsty, come. Chapter 22, what about the future? And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears come. And let him who thirsts come. And whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. What do we hear? We hear that God had an open invitation, that Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry preached, and then he's handed that off through the Spirit of God to the church. The church is the bride. Did y'all know that? Aren't you so glad? Have you ever heard people talk poorly about church? The church is this and the church is that, they don't like the church, they don't like institutions, they don't like this. But just remember, when you read the Word of God and you get the opinion and the perspective of God, he says the bride. You don't hear many people down in their bride. You don't hear many people tolerate other people downing their bride. We ought to be mindful how we speak concerning the church. But we see a Spirit-empowered church giving the same invitation that Isaiah the prophet did at 700 B.C., that Jesus Christ did from 30 to 33 B.C. A.D., and that is going to be on long after you and I step off the stage. The church and the Spirit say, come on. What do you reckon we ought to be doing, church? If this is what the Spirit-empowered church of the future beyond us is doing, what should we be doing? If this is the message our Lord spoke when he is here, what should we be doing? If this is what Isaiah the prophet even spoke in Jerusalem to all those, come. We should be the same way. Having received the message, we ought to be sharing the message. At the bottom of your handout, I give four squares, rectangles, for those who are real technical about shape. And I thought there could be four different responses to the open invitation of God. There are those who have never heard. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that because they're not here. I will say this. We ought not assume, though, and when you meet people, take time to sit down with them and explain the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't give them the footnote. Don't just assume that they know. I grew up in a place where I didn't really know. I'd heard. It was available to me, but I didn't avail myself to it, and it wasn't until somebody actually sat me down and looked and I was ready to listen that I received the message. But there are those who haven't heard. There are those who have heard but have not received. I think there's a greater portion of those. Those who have heard and have not received. I know God's good. They might even come to church, but they've never really received it. They've never surrendered. They've never said, yes, Lord, I'm yours. You gave yourself for me. This is your idea, and I just want to say thank you. Thank you for saving me. I want to receive your word. I want to receive your message. I want to RSVP. They said no. Mm-mm. I hear you. Maybe they've just never slowed down enough like I was. Maybe never. No one's ever just talked to them. They always assumed. Coming from that family, from that part, people assumed. You know this? If you come from the South, they assume you're a born-again Christian. Anybody here know somebody who's not a born-again Christian? Raise your hand if you know somebody. Wow! But that's not what they say on the news. They say if you come from here, you're a Christian. You vote Christian, you act Christian, you put crosses on your walls and all this stuff. So you got to be a Christian if you come from the South. But that's not true, is it? We don't ever want to assume. We want to share. And even though someone's heard, doesn't mean that they've received. There's a whole lot of people in that boat. The next big, I think, group are people who have received. They said, yes, I'll receive God's open invitation. But they don't share that invitation with anybody else. Mum's the word. I don't know how we can be like that. I say that. I know how. I meet people. I don't just come out and the first thing I say, hey, I'm John. Are you saved? Maybe I should. I don't know. That's not how I usually operate. I usually get to try to get to know people and share the gospel with them as part of a relationship and things like that. But I'm talking about at some point, the percentages say most Christians, like 90-some percent, never share the gospel. 9 out of 10, they say, never share the gospel. They never communicate it. They never offer it. They smile. They live a witness. You know, they go to church, and that's kind of their witness. They've received, but they don't share. That is not the place God wants for us. Doesn't make you evil. But I do think it will lead to regrets at some point in your existence. I do think at some point you'll say, how come I didn't share with them? At some point, I think it'll lead to regrets. Doesn't make you evil. I know sometimes we get up here and the preacher starts foaming and spitting and saliva and you go share your faith and throw their glasses and fling stuff. That's not us, right? And the truth is, you sharing is not a part of God's open invitation anyways. He paid it all before you did anything. But what I do believe, it's a part of that current, the spiritual life in us. And as we share, we grow. And we get to know more and more about the salvation he's offered us when we offer it to somebody else. So if you've ever wanted to grow in your faith, don't grow so that you can share. Share that you might grow. See, we always got that. I always hear people say, I don't know enough about the Bible to share. Well, you're not teaching a seminary class, man. No one's asking you to be a theologian. Tell them you put your faith in Christ, that you believe that you didn't have anything to offer, and he offered it all, so you took it. You grow because you share. You don't grow until so that you can share someday. When you share your faith grows. That's in Philemon. I don't got the exact verse, but that's such a short little book. You can find it. When you share your faith grows. The last group is those who received the invitation of God. They've responded, and they're sharing. This is where God wants us to be. That doesn't make anybody a superhero of the faith. There's a superhero in our faith. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. No preacher, no missionary, no Sunday school teacher, no nobody is any kind of celebrity. Only one. And that's the one we worship. But I believe this. From his heart, he wants us to know how great our faith is by sharing it with others when we've received it. I believe he wants us to be active in his plan in getting the message out of the invitation. I don't have to guess that, right? I read it in the Word. The Spirit and the bride say, come. The bride is not, in this point, singular. It's a symbol for a church. And a church, by definition, is not one person. It's a group that's been called out. So there's a group that the Spirit longs to empower to give the invitation of God to a lost and dying world, a thirsty world, a world that's got no hope except for Christ. And he's saying, you and me ought to be saying, come on to him. He's done it. He's done it for you. Now, today, the invitation that we're going to have is for you if you've not received. You've heard, but you've not received. You don't have that current of life. You don't have the confidence of saying, I know that I'm born again. You haven't received the open invitation of God that he's not backing away of. He's been giving it for thousands of years. We don't know what year Revelation chapter 22 represents. We just know that at that time there's going to be a Spirit-filled bride, church, saying, come. If you've never come to him, that's the invitation. Come to him. If you've received and you've never shared, why don't you ask God to give you somebody to share with and something to share with them in your own words, your own way? That's the invitation today. So I'm going to pray for you. And you come. You do business with God however you need to do business with God today. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to come, not because we're good, but because you're good and because you have invited us. No one takes advantage of you. Your grace is just that big. It's just that good. So thank you, Lord, that you've targeted people like me, the least, the last, the lost. You've targeted us and said, come on. Thank you for being our hope. And Lord, we love you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time. If you want to come, you come now. I'm going to ask the ushers if they'd come forward for the morning offering. This first offering is going to be our regular tithes and offering. The next one will be for the mission trip. That money is collected and it goes to the missions fund of Christ Community Church. It doesn't go to me personally. It goes into the missions fund. So anyways, just putting that out there. And y'all pray for us as we go. Let me pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity we have to give back in an act of worship. Thank you for providing all that we need. And Lord, we do love you and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We have a need to provide some meals. I think we need two meals, Monday and Wednesday. Monday and Wednesday, if anybody is able, please see Suzanne Schmitz, the Lawrence family, Pat and Kim. Kim had surgery. Pat's all stove up with different things, and they just needed a little help. So if you can provide a meal either Monday or Wednesday, please see Miss Suzanne in the back. As I was saying, I was going to Haiti. I am going to Haiti. Hear my hesitation. There's a big hurricane there. There's a lot of rain there. There's a lot of Haitians there. And we knew that for being Haiti. But I'm freaked out, and I know my family is too. But y'all listen, when God calls you, you go. God figures things out. The pilots flying there, they don't want to die. The people driving us in the trucks, they don't want to die. The other Haitian people, they don't want to die, and I don't want to die either. But my time is in God's hands, right? Just like yours. I don't have a special out or in, no matter where I am. Somebody said, Dave said, they used to leave the Air Force base where he worked. And he said, now you're going to the most dangerous place in this country, a public highway. You know, we think about going into dangerous situations, but we don't think about the daily stuff we live with that's really dangerous. So I do ask you to pray for our trip. Pray for the pastors there to be encouraged. They're sending me to encourage other pastors. I don't know. Maybe they think I'm a big, goofy guy who encourages other people. We're gonna preach the word to them, pray with them, and encourage them as they minister in the voodoo capital of the world. So be mindful of that. Pray for my family as they worry. And I can't convince them not to because they know I'm worried. And so as we worry together as a family, pray for my family as we go. I should be back Friday evening, if all goes as planned. I'll be leaving tonight we'll be leaving 6:30 in the morning from Columbus to Atlanta, and then Atlanta to Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, at which time we'll get into pick-em-up trucks and drive to Haiti. And so just be praying for us. There might not be a village left to where we're going. It's right on the southeastern side of Haiti where there's going to be a big storm surge and a lot of rain coming down. So pray for us. We all do that? All right. I appreciate it. Let me close in prayer and we'll be dismissed. Thank you, Lord God, for loving us. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be together. We love you, Lord, recognizing whether we like it or not, our lives are in your hands. And I, for one, like it. I trust you. I love you. You're my shepherd. You're my Savior, my Lord, and my God. I give you all the praise. And Lord, as we go, be with us. And we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for letting me be your pastor. I love you. Ready?